Well, if you turn with me again to the book of Exodus on the chapter 4, I want to read one verse to you. And there are interesting words in this verse that I want to leap off, if you want to put it that way, and bring a theme to you in our gospel service. So Exodus chapter 4, I'm going to read together the words of verse number 21. And there the word of God says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, but he shall not let the people go." Amen. We will bow in prayer, and we'll ask the Lord now to bless the preaching of the gospel. Our Father and our God in heaven, we do rejoice in thy goodness to us already in the service. And we thank thee, O Father, for the great singing of praise unto thee. And Lord, what a wonderful thing it is to be able to sing out of a redeemed heart, to be able to sing of all of these wonderful gospel truths, and to know that we have experienced them. But Lord, now as the gospel goes forth again, if there be any in the service and they know not the Saviour, may they have a heart tonight that is redeemed. May they have a heart that is changed by thy wonderful grace. And may they know the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. So undertake now for us, bless us, give liberty, give simplicity, and the preaching of thy word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, so often in life you find that there are so many different responses by different people when it comes to danger. You have those that see danger at every turn. And they see that danger is forthcoming, and they always then prepare for the worst case scenario. As you go onto the internet, you'll find all types of people who are prepared for events that they anticipate will happen in the future. There is a group of people, and this is not biblical, what they believe, by the way, but there is a group of people that foresee a potential apocalypse. So they say that the end of humanity as we know it, rather than being that of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, will come through an apocalypse. There will be then the end of so many in this world, perhaps there will be few survivors. And therefore, they respond to such a thing by perhaps buying a doomsday bunker. Now, what I mean by that is they buy something that they think will take them through such an event. You'll see it. They will have this bunker and they'll pack it with all types of food and all the things they need to get through the apocalypse. And they do it in order that they might survive. And you know, there are people then who have seen a market for this. They have played on this fear that people have. And therefore you can go and you can buy your own doomsday bunker, and some people buy them with all sorts of features. Some buy them with swimming pools, with cinema rooms. They decorate them how they want. They have this wonderful luxury bunker that will take them through the apocalypse. They'll go through the apocalypse in comfort and in five-star luxury. You mention danger, and right away what do? They prepare, no matter how crazy it seems to do so. And you know, we have had this in our land and in our nation this year. Not that I'm saying that it's crazy, I believe that some of it is legitimate, but we have the pandemic that happened in our nation and all around the world. We were told about this new strain of a virus that had come, and we told not only that it had come, but it would eventually come to our land and our nation as we know it. They said in the news, there is danger. There is danger all around, and therefore people felt the danger as they stepped outside their doors. As they went out, they said to themselves, "I wonder, will I catch this virus? Will I catch it in a shop? Will I catch it of someone else? Is it in the air? If the air that I breathe might even be dangerous itself." Well, people then began to prepare for a long stint at home, and we know very well what happened. They went into the shops. They bought the hand sanitizers, they cleared the shelves of all the food, and of course, we know that people bought an awful large quantity of toilet rolls. So you saw all of these things when danger was announced. When there is danger, people react, and people mostly prepare. And then therefore they prepare for the danger that is to come. People do not like the thought of danger. People do not like the thought that they may be in danger, and therefore they try to get away from that thing that may even cost them their lives. And yet when it comes to the gospel, it's totally different. Someone can come into a gospel meeting and the preacher might say, there is danger. There is danger with regard to your soul. There is a danger that you could lose your soul for all of eternity, that you might meet God, that you might be lost forever. There is danger, and you keep proclaiming it, and you show them not only the danger, you show them how they might prepare for eternity and the danger that is to come. And what do? They don't take heed at all. Tell them about everything else. Make an announcement. People will prepare, but when you tell them of the greatest danger of all, they won't prepare. And there are so many reasons why people don't prepare. Some think they have plenty of time to prepare, and yet the Bible says they might not have another hour to prepare. Some don't see the need to prepare at all. They don't believe the gospel. They don't believe the word of God. And yet the evidence shows them that these things are true because they've seen people transformed. And I can testify of that in my life. A drunkard, a drug taker, all of these things. And yet the Lord in an instant transformed me. So there is the reality of the gospel that is shown forth, and therefore they know these things are true. They're told of the danger. They will not take heed. Now where I'm from in Porto Vogue, there is a profession that is very well known among the fishermen. Sometimes the men can't get out in the winter time. You would be absolutely mad to take a boat out into the sea at those times of the year. So they do a thing called whelk gathering. They go down to the beach and they pick these wee things, they look like slugs, these shells, and they gather them by the stone. And as they gather them up, then they can take them to market and they can sell them. Now, one of the key things that you have to know about when you're going to do this profession is the tide. Now, you have to know what the tide's going to do, and in order for you to do your job correctly, the tide has to be very, very far out, or else you can't do nothing at all. And so that means sometimes you're going to have to go out at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning to do it. And believe me, I've done it. Sometimes it's not very pleasant when you have to take a hammer and all of these things and get through the ice and put your hand into the cold water. But as you go out then, you go out and you get focused on your job. And there has been a tragic story or tragic stories down my part of the world where people went out and did their job with the wilt gathering. They're gathering away. They're making their profit, they're working hard, they're getting into it, they're taking heed to so much that is around them, but there's one thing they forget to take heed of when it comes to the end of the night, and that is the tide itself. The tide was out, they were working away, and then they turn round, and next thing you know, the tide is in, and all they can see all around them is water. And see all around them is water, and that has led to so many tragedies. Here is the truth that I want you to see in that. It is they did not take heed to the tide. They did not take heed to the danger that they were in. And I say to you tonight, the Bible presents many people who were in very obvious danger. When you come to the scriptures here in Exodus chapter 4, you read of a man, and the Lord makes a declaration about Pharaoh. He says, I will harden his heart. What a dangerous situation for any sinner to be in when the Lord makes this determination that he will harden their heart. A hardened heart has led many, it led this man into a lost eternity. A hardened heart is something that will cost you your very soul. The Bible says here that there is a great danger of a hardened heart, a great peril of a hardened heart. And I ask you tonight, then, what is the state of your heart before God? Could it be that you have not responded positively to the gospel because your heart is hardened, your heart is so hard against the Lord and against the things of God? You can come in and out of a meeting, no problem. You don't even think about what was said. You don't even think about your soul. And that is because your heart is hard. That's how I can diagnose that. I know that by your response. And therefore you are in great danger if you're not saved. You're in an awful state tonight. And you especially need to take heed to the gospel. As I said, we see in these words the peril of a hardened heart. And that's what our theme will be tonight as we consider these words and as we consider the gospel. Very briefly, it is the peril of a hardened heart. The first reason that this is a peril, this is a danger, is because of the revelation given. because of the revelation given. When we look at the biography of Pharaoh, we see that this man was a very blessed man, because he had the revelation of God given to himself. When I am speaking about this revelation, I mean that Pharaoh received a special revelation from the Lord. In those days, it was very rare for those pagan nations to receive the revelation of God. You see it far and few between. That was really exclusive to Israel in so many ways. And yet here is a man who receives the revelation that God is giving. We see it in Exodus 5 verse 1. And read that with me. He says, "And afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.'" You see, the revelation that he has here, it is not of the pagan gods that Pharaoh knew, but it was of the Lord God of Israel. And God would show the fact that he was the preeminent one. He brought down every god that Egypt had to offer him. And he showed himself as the Lord God of Israel, the only one, the God revealed in the Bible, the Lord God. I mean, if God makes such a special revelation as this, this is a blessing, because God's revelation that he has given is tied to his purpose in Christ. So the fact that you're in the meeting tonight, I'm revealing God to you, is because I read the Bible, and yet when God reveals himself in the Bible, it is the revelation of his purpose to save a people. And I ask you then, have you realized that? I can stand here tonight and I can speak about the Lord. I can speak about his wrath. I can speak about the judgment day. I can speak about all of these things. But the central thing I want to speak about when I reveal God is the redemptive revelation that God has given. That's the revelation that Pharaoh had that day. Of the great God, the Redeemer. Of the great God who loves his people, attaches himself to them, is personal to them, the Lord God of Israel, the one who saves. I ask you tonight then, do you know him? And this revelation is put to you tonight. Will you know him? Will you know his redeeming love in Jesus Christ? Will you put your faith in the Savior? Will you take this revelation that I have given you and say, yes, this is a blessed revelation. This is a blessed thing to my heart, because now I know the true God through his Son. Will that be said of you? And what did Pharaoh do? Verse 2 of chapter 5. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord?" He didn't know the Lord. He says that I should obey his voice to let Israel go. "I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Notice here, when he's faced with the revelation of the great God of heaven and earth, he says, "I will not do what he wants me to do." He says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" And that's a modern attitude. People will say that all the time. "Who is the Lord that I should obey him? Who is the Lord that I should do his will? Who is the Lord that I should get saved?" They perhaps even say, "Who is the Lord among so many other gods?" And that's one of the great things you'll see in our society. They'll say there are thousands of gods out there. Why should I obey this one? Because every single god, and I'll tell you this, every single god out there demands works, demands something to get to heaven. Every single salvation out there is how I can get to heaven through merit. Every one. And I've studied so many of them. Whether it's the Jehovah's Witnesses, Muslims, whether it's the Mormons, whether it's the Roman Catholics, it's all merit. It's all what I can do. And yet the Lord doesn't reveal himself in such a way. The Lord reveals himself as one who has done something in order that men and women might be saved. He's not saying what you can do. He's saying what I have done for you in Christ. You know, up to this point in his life, Pharaoh didn't have such a revelation. But he did have a revelation of God all around him. Had the revelation of the heavens and the earth. The creation was a revelation. But what did Pharaoh do with it? Well, he did what so many do with this knowledge. He took it and he corrupted it and he created a god of his imagination. And Pharaoh then adored something that was not the Lord. He turned to creation into an idol. He worshipped those things that were not meant for worship. They were meant for the glory of God. And Pharaoh showed his wickedness. He showed that he did not know God at all. My friend, tonight maybe you're like Pharaoh. You've rejected the revelation of God. And you have an idol in your heart. And what is an idol? It's something that you adore more than anything else. You adore it. You love it. You live your life for it. It's everything to you. It's the absolute centerpiece of your existence. And you go on in your life and you adore this thing and you tell yourself you're happy. You tell yourself you're content. You tell yourself you're all right without the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet the reality is you will never be happy. You will never be content until you know the Lord, until you know God. Because that's why you were created in His image, that you might know Him, that you might have fellowship with Him. And I don't know what it is in your life, something that you set before you. You have a goal in your mind, and you say, once I get to where I want to be, then I'll be happy. And yet when you get to that place, you're still not happy at all, because you do not know Jesus Christ. And Pharaoh here, he's a man who had power, he had all of these things. And the reality is, he did not know God. And therefore, in the face of this revelation, what does he do? He rejects it. And therefore, his heart is hardened. That's why it's so dangerous. And listen to this. That's why it's so dangerous to sit in a gospel meeting. Because you're in a gospel meeting, the gospel comes forth and it calls for a response. And your response can have such effects on your heart that it hardens it forever. Let me tell you this, tonight could be the night where the Lord will harden your heart. This would be the night. You could live another 30, 40 years. This could be the night where He hardens it forever. And your destiny is sealed. What a thing I put before you then. The revelation is given of Christ. What will you do with the revelation of God? Walk out of this meeting. The heart could be hard. This could be the final chance, the final time that God reveals this to you in such a way. In the Lord Jesus Christ. You reject Him, it will add to your condemnation. You reject Him, it will take you into a deeper pit of eternity. The peril of a hardened heart because of the revelation that is given, but also because of the heart's role in salvation. The Bible speaks much about the heart of a person. Now we know it's not speaking about the physical organ, it's speaking about their spiritual part. And when I think of your heart tonight, I think of your intellect, I think of your affections and your will. This is what the heart is. And when it comes to the Bible, and our society certainly recognizes this, it attests the truth that Scripture puts forth. You've ever heard of someone who has a heart of gold? You think they're very kind and they're very generous. You also think of someone and they have a valiant heart. Well, that's someone who is very brave and courageous. And so you see, people speak about heart qualities in our society. They speak about people and their heart, and this is usually judged by their actions. And this there is also true in the Word of God. And the Word of God, rather than giving the picture of a good heart or of anything else that may complement man, it gives us a true heart diagnosis. And it tells us the state of our hearts. You think of Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. It says there, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the thought behind this phrase, desperately wicked, is that the heart is incurably sick. It's incurably sick. It says then that the heart is above cure. And what it means is that a person, by their works and what they do, cannot cure the state of their heart. And that's why merit, that's why all of these things do not bring salvation, because it will not change the heart. The Bible gives this true diagnosis. And the Bible says then it's incurably sick and it's deceitful. So the Bible is claiming here the heart is incurably deceitful. And what a thing that is. Our very nature deceives us. Can deceive us with regard to so many things. The reality of sin. The the reality of death, the reality of judgment. Or maybe you're here tonight and your heart is condemning you because it's telling you you don't need to be saved. You don't need to come to Christ. You don't need to take heed. You do not need to be washed in the Savior's blood. Your heart is telling you these things, and it is doing exactly what the Bible tells you it's going to do. This is telling you that the Bible is correct. Your heart is deceiving you. And we spoke earlier about the fact that so many think they're happy and they don't need the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't need to be saved. They say all of these things because the heart is deceiving them to say these things. And a heart like this will never be in heaven. And the heart plays a vital role in a person's salvation. Without a change of heart, there will never be salvation. And that's why it's so dangerous to have a hardened heart. It's a heart that is rebelling against God. It's a heart that is more determined to go against God. It is a heart that is more determined to go against Christ. Let's put it this way, because this is the truth. It's a heart that's more determined to go to hell. And yet when you look to the Lord tonight, the Lord can change your heart. Ezekiel 36:26 says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. The Lord here pictures the heart as a stone. And we know, of course, that there's nothing alive or vibrant about a stone. And the Bible says the Lord gives a heart of flesh. We all have a heart of flesh, a heart that is beating, a heart that's alive. What's the Lord saying here? I will take away that dead heart, and I will give you a new heart, a living one. One that loves the Savior. One that can enter into the glory of heaven. That's what the Lord can give you tonight. The Bible says in Exodus 9:12, that this was not the case with Pharaoh. It says, rather, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them. And so many here look at this verse and they say that this is injustice, but the thought of the word heart or hardened here is to make strong. What was the Lord doing? He was making Pharaoh's heart strong. He was making it more determined than what it already wanted to do. Pharaoh wanted to rebel against God. He wanted to reject the revelation of Moses. Pharaoh wanted to keep the children of Israel in their cruel bondage, and the Lord made him strong in that determination to keep doing what he already wanted to do. What a peril that is. And I say to you tonight again, the Lord Jesus Christ can change your heart. Lord Jesus Christ can give you a heart tonight that will come and that will embrace him as Savior. Wonder, will you do that tonight as I call for that response again? As I say unto you, repent and believe the gospel. What will your heart's response be? Will it be no again? And therefore the Lord will make your heart strong. Stronger in its determination to keep saying no. The peril because of the role the heart plays in salvation. One more thing, and we'll bring our meeting to an end. It's a peril because of the end that it brings. Pharaoh in his life was determined to go against God. He was in great danger. And therefore he was in a great danger that cost him his soul and cost him his eternal existence, and that he would exist forever in the place of hell. The Bible tells us that Pharaoh and his hosts were overcome in the Red Sea. Psalm 136 says in verse 15, but overthrew, and this is speaking of the Lord, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. Pharaoh was overthrown that day. It was finally the time for him to answer his rejection of God. It was the time for him to answer what he had done in his life. And Pharaoh stood before the Lord. Pharaoh went to hell that day. And it was all because of one last act of rebellion. We know very well that Pharaoh let the children of Israel go eventually. He was brought to a place where he let them be on their way, but he obviously again had a change of heart. The Bible says in Exodus 14:4-6, And I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And remember what that means. It means the Lord is just letting Pharaoh go his own way, letting him do his own thing. And what it says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh, upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. The Lord is saying, Pharaoh is going to come. Going to come after the children of Israel one more time. He's going to go into the midst of that Red Sea. I'm going to overthrow him. And my name is going to be honored. The nations of this earth will know that I am the Lord. And that was the very purpose of Pharaoh's life. Romans 9:17 says, For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show forth my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Pharaoh, very simply, I would say this was a vessel of wrath. Because he hardened his heart against the Lord. And God was honored that day. You see, everyone thinks that God is honored only in his love and his mercy and his grace. God is honored in his wrath and his justice and his anger. He is honored that day. And when all is said and done in this earth, how will God be honored in you? Will it be to the praise of his glorious grace or to the praise of his glorious justice and wrath? You know, in Lord Jesus Christ, we see both those things revealed. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. There we see the great love and the mercy of God. Jesus Christ bore the sins of his people and the wrath of God. And therefore we see the praise of the justice of God on him. Jesus Christ is the ultimate vessel of honor. Friend, in him you can be saved. In him you can honor God. In him the end is only life eternal. I ask you then, what will be the end of you? Will this be the night where you determine that you're going to take one last stand against the Lord? And we see him there with the great power to cut a man like Pharaoh off. And the most powerful man in the world at that time was cut off. Two parties entered into the Red Sea. And only one came out that day. I say then, if you come on this journey of life, will the waters of the wrath of God come crashing down on you all of a sudden? You're swept out into eternity. And then it's far too late. That is the only place that the blood of Christ cannot save. Christ cannot redeem those who are already in the pit. I want you to see then tonight the great end of you. If you will continue to reject the gospel, the great end is in eternity and hell forever. I say to you then, see the great danger that you're in tonight. See the danger that is before you. I say flee from it. Flee into the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Know him by faith. Do not harden your heart anymore. But come and take the Savior. I pray you will. For his honor and glory. Amen. Amen.